Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
So we are looking at the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ. That's what we are dealing with. We began last week, and the aspect we looked at was the aspect that dealt with Jesus as the Son of God. And I showed you why that was very important. Number one, we proved from scriptures, first of all, that Jesus is the Son of God. Because this is a subject of great debate. There are many religions of the world today that believe that Jesus is a prophet, but they don't believe that he is the Son of God. And the argument is simple. God does not have a wife. And so there is no basis for him having a son. And because of that, they have been cut off from the economy of salvation. That very little argument. The reason a whole religion cannot receive eternal life is because they think God cannot have a son. So there are certain revelations that look very simple, but a lot depends on it. The stakes are very high in the spirit. And so you don't have to take it for granted. Because the day you are challenged, these things can become the basis for your conviction and the reason why you will stand in the kingdom. Praise God. So, just to refresh our minds very quickly, we said that gospel emphasizes the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the first aspect we looked at in the gospel of Christ. And I began my argument from Romans chapter 1, verse 3. In fact, from verse 1, Paul was teaching and he introduced himself boisterously as an apostle of Jesus, a servant of Christ, separated unto the gospel of God. And he began to explain to us what the gospel of God was about. In verse 3, he said that gospel is the technology of the Spirit by which Christ was made to become flesh according to the seed of David. So he was God and is God, but God by his sovereignty decided to make him become flesh. And he said God did not stop there. That God went further, allowed him to lay down his life, and resurrected him from the dead. And these are two things that was not, and usually would not be obtainable in the realms of men. That when a man dies, he doesn't have the power to bring himself back to life. All the prophets before him died. The ones who claim they also have messages of eternity also died. No one came back to life. He's the only one till date who did not just go to the grave, but told us he will go and come back. And he went, true to his own words, 3 days later, he resurrected from the grave and came up. Nobody assisted him. He went and came back. Imagine somebody is buried and 3 days later, he opened the tomb and come out and say, I'm back. You will know that this one is not normal. So Paul said the basis for that argument is the fact that he conquered the grave. That means he has authority over this natural realm. And he also has authority over the realms eternal. So while he was on earth, he told us about eternity and he said he was going to go there and come back. And he went and came back. So Paul said, this is the basis for which we believe that he is the Son of God. And if he is the Son of God, it means he is also God. But if you don't go through the scripture, you may not understand the dynamics of him becoming the Son of God before you even argue that he's God. And so John helped us with that argument. And John told us how that happened in John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. He said, in the beginning was the Word. And he said, the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So before he became flesh, which was what Paul built his argument on, John said he was the eternal Word of God. And John went further to tell us that he was not just the eternal Word of God, that he was also God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And John now went to verse 14 and told us that this Word that was with God and was God became flesh. So he came back to the same discussion of Paul. That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the idea behind Christ being the Son of God is the fact that as the eternal Word of God, he decided to put on flesh and to become man. So it's not a biological process. It's actually a process spiritual and powered by the Holy Spirit. And I told you here last time that even amongst animals, we know there are animals in the animal kingdom who are not even at the level of men that have the power to give birth without having a wife. The amoeba, for example, can divide into two and birth a son without having a wife. So you must not have a wife to have a son. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw that Jesus himself corroborated this emphasis. In John chapter 5, verse 58, when he told them from verse 56, they said, who do men? He told them rather that Abraham, your father, saw my day and he rejoiced in it. And the people looked at him and said, you are not yet 50. How can you claim that Abraham saw you? And Jesus gave an answer that they know the meaning. He said, before Abraham was, I am. They took stones to stone him. Because in Exodus 3:14, God introduced himself as the I am. So Jesus used his mouth to say, he is the I am. So Paul argued it, that he is God made flesh. John argued it, that he is God made flesh. Jesus himself said, he is the I am. And in fact, if you study further, in John chapter 20, verse 28, after he resurrected and proved to Thomas that he came back to life, because the Hebrew people know that only the Messiah will have the power to die and resurrect. And the Messiah is the Word of God sent to men. So when he proved to Thomas that he rose from the dead, immediately Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus didn't say, no, I'm not your Lord, I'm not your God. He received it. If he is not God, he can't receive it. That he received that salutation means he knows who he is, because he knew what Thomas said. So the Bible revealed clearly to us that Jesus is the Son of God. And I told you that the reason this thing is a bit of an argument is because of the realm where we are. We are in a three-dimensional world. Not too much can happen here. These are lower realms of existence. There is the fourth dimension where impossibilities do not exist. In the fourth dimension, if God speaks, his word works like a beam. His word is not sound. In that dimension, his word is him. So when God talks, his word can come out. So in that realm, God can move and God can be in the same spot. And I gave you an illustration. I sat there a moment ago. I stood up from there and came here because I'm in the three dimension. I can't sit there and come here at the same time. But that's not so in the fourth dimension. In the fourth dimension, I can sit there and stand up and come here. And I will still be sitting there and still be standing here. That's the operation of God. So when God spoke, his word came to earth, but he was still sitting in heaven. And I told you that the reason he is called Father in heaven is because that's the source of the migration. The word Father means Abba. That's where he originates from. And the reason this one is called Son is because he's the sent one. He's the offspring. So it doesn't mean that the one in heaven is bigger than the one on earth. It actually means that the one in heaven is the origin. The one on earth is the one that proceeded. So Son means proceed. Abba means origin. So the Father and the Son is one. And then somebody begins to argue and say, but Jesus said the Father that in heaven is greater than I. That's administration. The moment the word was spoken, a particular responsibility was assigned. So that responsibility limited the scope of operation as far as divine administration is concerned. When he came into the world, he came as Savior. So every other duty and ability of God, he had to surrender it and operate only as Savior. So while he was on earth as man, he was functioning as Savior. Because of that, and because he could no longer carry other God and divine administration or operations, he became reduced in scope. And that's the agreement between the Father and the Son. Now, if I sit down in my house, assuming I'm God, and I start sending my words on errand, I say, door open. That door open was in me. It's the same as me. But the moment I say door open, assuming it was not a sound, it was me that left. The whole scope of that me that left now is to open door. When it was in me, we were equal. But now that it has gone forth, all its existence now is limited to opening door. So as touching administration, that one that left is no longer like me, because his duty has now been defined. He is to open door. But me who is here, I can stay here and not open door and go and cook food. I can go and wash. I can travel. So I can do more things because my scope has not been regulated. When Jesus came into the world, God regulated himself to only save. And because he was only coming to save, he is no longer in scope like the Father who is in heaven. Because the Father has salvation included in him, but also to rule the heaven. Because of that, administratively speaking, the Father is greater than the Son. But essentially speaking, they are equal. Because if that duty was not administered, he would have been in heaven. And that is the agreement between the Godhead. Only them know why they did it that way. Are you following? So with that, Jesus is actually proven scripturally to be the Son of God. And as the Son of God, we said there were four things he came to achieve. And so I took time to explain to you the meaning of sonship. And I said, number one, sonship is the ability to mirror God. Because when we receive him as sons, we also will become sons. That's the whole essence of the interaction. It doesn't just come to show us the meaning of sons, so that we too can become sons. Because Jesus is the pattern man. Anything Jesus does is revealing to us how to live our own lives. Are we together? So, sonship, first of all, means to mirror God. And so in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, he said, but in this last day he has spoken to us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. So Jesus manifested sonship by revealing the image of the Father. The first time the angel saw God fully was when Jesus appeared. Because when they see him in heaven, they can't behold his fullness. The light, the glory is too much. That's why they fall on their faces. You can't look upon him. He's there in his fullness. Nobody could see him. So when Jesus walked on the earth, that was the first time every creature had the opportunity of seeing him. And that's why the Father had to introduce him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And immediately all the creation began to check. So this is what God looks like. That was the first time the angels were also seeing God. The time we saw him, that's when they also saw him. Because he mirrored the Father. And when Philip came to him and said, show us the Father that we might see him, he said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. That's sonship. Sonship is the ability to image God. I said the second thing about sonship is to be led by the Spirit of God. In Romans 8:14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When you are born again, you are a child of God. There's a difference between a child of God and a son of God. A child of God is one who has the life of God. That's what being born again brings to you. But to be led by the Spirit of God is what makes you a son of God. So when Jesus was inviting us into the family of God to make us sons, he showed us the modus operandi. That number one, we must interact with God until we can reflect him. And number two, we must live a life dictated by the Holy Spirit. So as touching matters of ordination, creativity is not allowed. You must live according to what was written concerning you. If God says when you go to the earth, you will be a leader. You can't come on earth and become creative and say, no, I don't want leadership. I'm going to business. It's not written. It's what is written you must do. And it's the job of the Holy Ghost to lead your steps until you walk into the leadership that was allocated to you before time came. If God tells you from eternity that you will be a prophet, you can't come to earth and become creative and say, no, when I check, prophets don't have money. I would rather be a politician. You are joking. It was written. So the Holy Ghost will only lead you in the path of what was written concerning you. Now, as you begin to follow the Holy Ghost, you will now discover that there will be many powers available to you that even you cannot explain. The reason is because you have aligned with ordination. It's in that context that men can gang up against you. It won't work. They will put charm, you will walk on it, and they will wait for you to die. You won't die. You know what? You are being led by the Holy Spirit. And as you are being led by the Holy Spirit, the authority of sonship will rest on you. People can decide and say, tomorrow you will die. You will respond to them in 1 week and tell them, sorry, I didn't die. And I was busy. That's why I didn't respond to you that day. Because for you, you have become like the wind. He says, as the wind bloweth, and thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. He says, so are they that are born by the Spirit of God. This is why we don't live begging. We live ruling. Because we are sons. And it's our duty to exercise the dominion mandate. But for us to operate like that, we must be led by the Spirit. Listen, don't be afraid of tomorrow. If it is captured in your ordination, it's not your prayer matter. If it is captured in your ordination, just follow the Holy Ghost. You will arrive at tomorrow. Don't be concerned about who loves you or who hates you. Follow the Holy Spirit. Those who are supposed to love you, when it is time for them to participate in your destiny, even if they don't want it, there will be an invincible force that will compel them. Have you not seen people who give to you and tell you, God told me, it's not because I love your face, it's not because I want to be your friend, but God told me. Some of the biggest things I've received in my life, I received because God told them. They don't like my message, they don't look like my face, but when they go to sleep, the great one will come and say, I'm the one that gives sleep to men. Now you cannot sleep until you favor Mike. And they will wake up at night and help you. Why? Because God told them. It's called the power of ordination. But you cannot wield that power until you are led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. He said they are the sons of God. And sonship is not gender based. Because in the Spirit, a lady is a son. A man is a son. It's about leadership. Who is leading you? If they have many things to tell you, but you cannot receive it now, how be it when the Spirit of truth is come? He will guide you into all reality. See, this is why we are invincible. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you want to go out, the Holy Ghost say, wait. You don't know why, but you just wait. You carry plate from kitchen, you bring to parlor, you take it back. When the time passes, you now say, go. You go, you discover an accident just happened. You are invincible. If it's ahead, you are behind. If it's behind, you are ahead. Because the one who manipulates time is editing your life. Ah! Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Is the Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God is the Lord.
He alone.
He alone is worthy of our praise.
Kadosh, Kadosh.
Upon the throne,
He alone,
He alone.
Sometimes, hear this, the Holy Ghost leads you to a place, and as you enter there, somebody will wake up and look at you and say, how dare you come here? You will not succeed. Don't pray about it. It's not given to you. I came by movement. I came by emotion. I came by directive. The governor of the universe brought me here. It's not giving. See, it's not everything we pray about. When you know ordination,
When they talk, they are making your testimony bigger. Because when you want to testify, there will be many ingredients to the testimony. Somebody give the Lord a shout! Ah, is the Lamb of God. Jesus is not just the Son of God, but is also the Son of God to teach us the ways of sons. That's why he would do nothing. He said, the works that I do is what I see my Father do that I do. He's led. So they couldn't conquer him. There was a time they took him to the cliff of the mountain to throw him down. After they bustled him to the cliff of the mountain, the Bible said he walked through them. So he now looked at them. So you people were thinking, you were carrying me to throw me down. My time have not yet come. I only operate according as it is written. Imagine. So I asked myself, I said, why then did you leave them bring you to the edge? He wanted to show them that they were not the one pushing him. When he got there and they had done their best, he looked at them. The Bible said he walked through them. I could imagine what happened. They now said, where is he? Where is he? Ordination has not allowed it. It's not written. You can't throw him down. When the time came for him to leave, he said, this commandment have I received of my Father. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again. Hear me. Nobody can kill you. Hear me. Nobody can stop your existence. Nobody can determine your outcome. You will leave what is written concerning you. That's sonship in the kingdom. Please sit down. The third thing about sonship is the chastening of the Lord. Because many times you will make mistakes. And when you make mistakes, God will come and chisel you so that he will perfect you. In Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 6 to verse 10, see the way the Bible paints it. That's why sometimes you discover that for 2 years, it looks as if nothing is working. God is drawing your attention to something. He said, no. You didn't step out when I told you to. You missed the Holy Spirit. You missed the Holy Ghost. And because there is a faculty in you that don't pick signals, I have to shut you down for 2 years so that you can activate that faculty. If not, you will be a victim. Yes. So you enter that business 2 years before the time. The Holy Ghost will allow it to fail. When it fails, he will bring you back to Adullam. In the cave. Because it's in the wilderness that you will learn. There are some things that are not doctrinal. They are experiential. So as you go through that suffering, he said he suffered them to hunger. So that they will know that man shall not live by bread alone. So you will know that man must live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So for 6 months, God shuts you down. Nothing is working. It's in hunger that you will now know that encounter is superior to food. Because now, you will not move again until you hear whispers from Zion. So the third thing God does to sons is that he chastens them. He said, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Go to the next verse. He said, if we endure chastening, he said, God dealeth with you as with sons. God dealeth with you as with sons. He said, for what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Verse 8. He said, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof are ye partakers? Then are ye bastards and not sons. So anybody who will not endure the chastening of the Lord, he said, is not a partaker of the commonwealth of Israel. He's a bastard. In the next verse, hear what he says. He said, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. He says, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So when God is chastening you, don't be discouraged. He's proving to you that he loves you and is preparing and refining you for a better tomorrow. And so the third thing that makes for a son is the chastening of the Lord. That's why the Bible told us that Jesus endured. He said, although he was a son, he suffered
He learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So there are many things God wants to teach you. He will allow you to go through a wilderness season. Don't be discouraged. It's not because God has forgotten you. It's not because you are lost. It's actually because God loves you. So he's refining you, because when he is done, he will bring you to the fourth corridor of sonship. And the fourth corridor of sonship is that you are given. Unto us a child is born. He said, unto us a son is given. And he said, the government of this world shall be upon his shoulder. So the whole reason for sonship is dominion. So God wants to send you out to extend his government. But before you get there, you must first of all mirror him. You must hear his voice. You must endure his chastening. When he is sure that you can bring government, then he gives you. And so at that point, when you step out, any place you enter, you will represent the interest of Zion with power and with splendor. So when Jesus came as a son and died, although it was not his will, he was teaching us how to serve God. So sonship is not just to prove that Jesus is God. Sonship is actually to teach us how to walk in the kingdom, exercising the dominion of God. And that begins from mirroring God. That's transformation. It proceeds to being led of the Spirit. That's hearing the voice of God. Then it comes to the chastening of the Lord. When you err, God will buffet you. Not because he hates you, but he's refining you to handle power. And when God is done with you, and he commissions you to your word, you become a spectacle that reveals his excellency. Everywhere you stand, the dominion of God will prevail. This is why a son can enter a family where death is ravaging everybody. And he says, death, stop. And that's enough. You will hear that death stopped. Because now he's a government agent. He represents Zion. God can trust him and entrust him with power. But many Christians don't want to learn the ways of Christ, the Son of God. They don't want to learn this aspect of Jesus, and they just want to shout and scream and say they are Christians. They represent God. This is why we bring ridicule to the name of God, because many have not been walked upon. And if Christianity will be genuine, the way the first fathers taught it, then we must teach people how to walk with God until God walks on them and commissions them to represent him. That's when you will see the excellency of God. This is what we looked at when we started the gospel of Christ. Now, tonight, I want to add another layer. I want to share with you on two other aspects of Christ. You know, Christ is a system. It's a massive system. And the one I want to deal with tonight is because of the service we want to have. It's a miracle service. So I want to give you the basis for your faith. Because most times when you talk about miracles, even Christians think these things are impossible. Are you sure they are not manipulating people? If there is no power in this gospel, then what we are doing is caricature. Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. So another aspect of the gospel of Christ is the power dimension. And there are two things that forms the basis for power in this gospel. The first is the revelation of Jesus the Savior, and the second is the revelation of Jesus the Lord. And I will show you why these two is very important. But before I go into that aspect, let me use another 5 minutes to show you the many-sided faces of supernatural living, so that when you come into this revelation, you will know how to live your life. Because there's always a protocol. Nothing tangible, nothing genuine is without protocol, is without order. And this protocol I will show you tonight is a protocol of understanding. There is a definite understanding that you must have, upon which your convictions must anchor if you will walk in power and if you will experience power. If you don't understand this protocol, and I just throw the revelation of Jesus the Savior at you, throw the revelation of Jesus the Lord at you, you may think, okay, it's normal religious teaching. So let me show you some things that if Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Lord will profit you, you must understand first. Because I don't believe in Christianity that is thoughtless. I don't believe in mindless Christianity where you don't process anything and you are just being religious and highly emotional. Because for me, I don't know about you, I've faced real life problems. And so I told myself I won't deceive myself and I won't deceive anybody. There was a period of time when people were dying in my family like men were fowls. I had to encounter God and find out where is the genuine power. Because at that level, Christianity was no longer talking. I had to see death stop. I've seen sickness ravage my family. I've seen poverty ravage my family. So when I come to talk to people about God, I don't want to fascinate them with scriptures. I need them to understand how this thing works, and they put it to work for themselves. So that when they need to see God in action, they should see Him. So for you to walk in the supernatural, you must have a definite revelation of Jesus the Savior and Jesus the Lord. However, for that revelation to mean anything to you, there is a protocol of understanding that you must have. And there are four of these understandings. And I'll place them in the order and the sequence to which they follow. Number one, you must understand how God works. And to understand how God works, you must understand the realm where God dwells. You must understand the power that God commands. And you must also understand the desires that God sustains per time. If you don't know the realm where God dwells, if you don't know the power God has, and if you don't know God's desire in situations, when you confront situations, you will discover that you are either religious or you are highly psyched. And when you try everything you know and it doesn't work, your disappointment, if not helped, can turn you to an atheist. You will come to that point where you don't believe God exists, and you can argue it aggressively. So the first understanding you must have is the understanding of how God works. And the first thing I said is where He dwells. See, God does not dwell in a three-dimensional world. God begins to operate from the fourth dimension. And there are seven dimensions in the spirit. But for you to know God and to be able to believe God and walk with God, you must understand that the reality of God begins to make sense from the fourth dimension. And the fourth dimension is the faith dimension. The third dimension is governed by matter, is governed by time, and is governed by space. So anything that does not make sense to time, to space, or to matter cannot have expression in this realm. But you see, when you enter the fourth dimension, it is controlled by faith. You have what you believe. So the moment you can believe it, it can exist. The moment you can believe it, it can find expression. So for you to relate with God, you must ascend beyond the laws of time. You must ascend beyond the laws of matter. And you must ascend beyond the laws of space. If God tells you that eternity can be in your heart, it's no longer about the size of your heart. It's about whether you can believe or not. That's why I said through faith we understand that this realm was framed by the realm, by the power or the word of God. Now, let me show you a few things in scripture that will show you how God's realm dwarfs your realm. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. It said God took the dust of the ground, put it together, formed a man. And the Bible said God blew into his nostrils and the man became a living soul. Now, next time somebody dies, go and blow into his nostrils and see what will happen. If he will become a living soul. If you blow into the nostril of a dead man and it doesn't come back to life, then you will now understand that it is foolishness to use your brain to analyze the ways of God. You know why? Because oxygen is only relevant to a living man. But when God is involved, if he blows into your nostrils, he's not ventilating you, he's transferring life. Because he's operating at a superior dimension. Are you seeing that? When you blow, when my son's nose is blocked, one of the technologies I've invented to help him breathe is that I blow into one side of the nose and the catarrh comes out on the other side. If God blows, it's not trying to clear your nose. When God blows, he's trying to put life in you. And that's why, even in Ezekiel 37, when God took Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones, he told him, mortal man, because he needed to let the guy know that you are in your dimension, I am in my dimension. He said, can these bones live? The guy was smart. He knew that the third dimensional world, these bones are dry. There's no way they can live. So he said, only thou knowest. And God said, you answered correctly. He said, now let me show you how we operate from our realm. The air that you need for freshness in my realm, that air imparts life. So when you are receiving air, you are receiving ventilation, you are feeling cool. He said, now command the wind to enter the bones. And suddenly, as the guy commanded, these dead beings came back to life. Because in the fourth dimension, air is not for fresh air. Air is not for ventilation. Air is a conveyor of life. So anytime God is dealing with air, he's dealing with the economy of life. In the natural, air can be used for air conditioning. You can manipulate air, remove heat from a room, and it becomes cold. But in the spirit realm, there's nothing like air conditioning. There is life transparency. So the difference between your realm and the realm of God is that you may have the same resource, but the outcome is different. That's why when God speaks to you, he's not necessarily trying to educate you. If he wants to educate you, he can open your mind and you'll be educated. When God speaks to you, he's transferring something to your realm. If you don't know how God works, you can be in a miracle service like this. They say, be healed. You are spelling H-E-A-L. They say, this week, a door has opened. You are thinking of door to bedroom, door to parlor. That's not what we are talking. We are talking from the fourth dimension. So when we say be healed, what we are saying is that that cancer is disappearing now. So a man who understands how God works, when he's hearing, his response is different. So somebody may come in, he cannot walk. The moment you say be healed, he says amen and he stands up, he starts testing. Because what he heard is not just a communication of language. We are not teaching you the meaning of healing. We are transferring life. So the man who relates with it as a fourth dimensional reality, we have a different result than a man who is interacting with it mentally. Sometimes you come for a healing service. You say be healed. The person who is sick is looking around to see if somebody is talking or to see if something has happened. Instead of him to personalize it and say, my encounter has come, my answer has come. He doesn't know that the world is not to educate. The world is to change his story. Jesus came to the man at the pool of Bethesda. He said, will thou be made whole? The guy went to English. If they have been here for 38 years. Who asked you about time? We are telling you, will thou be made whole? The answer is, right away, jump up and start walking. Because that question is not a question. That question is actually, this is your encounter. That question is actually, be healed. So if you know how God works, will thou be made whole? Thank you, Father. I receive my healing. And you stand up, you begin to walk. But if you are operating at the third dimension, will thou be made whole? You say, well, Lord, they say there's no cure for cancer. Will thou be made whole? Lord, I've been blind for 10 years. You are operating in a lower realm, in a lower realm. But see, a generation that know how God works have emerged. So the moment God looks at you and say, what about Canada? You say, now we have taken Canada. When God looks at you and say, can you handle 1 billion? You say, wow, now we are taking over the economic corridor. Because your response is a sign that you understand. That's why when God talks, we don't answer with words. We answer with action. It's a faith without works is dead. It's a faith without action is like a body without a spirit. If God tells me today, Mike, my son, what do you think about Lagos? I will gather my people. It's time to take over Lagos. We'll start praying. How do we enter? Because the moment he asks that question, it means that city has been given to me. So I'm not responding like, well, Lagos is the economic headquarter of Nigeria. There are business people in Lagos. That's not my business. How about Lagos? Lagos is your time. We are coming with a rod of power. We are coming to take over. And as you begin, you discover angels begin to appear. Cherubims begin to appear. Anointings begin to come. Graces begin to come. That's for the man who understands how God works. The reason many Christians don't prosper is because they don't know how God works. They've heard 1,000 messages. They have been imparted by 1,000 men of God, but they have not received anything. In fact, when you pour oil on their head, they carry their handkerchief, they are cleaning. Because they are dealing with oil. When I read Exodus 15 verse 8, I sat down confused. The Bible said, Moses cried to the Lord. What do we do? And God said, go forward. God said, stretch thy rod and divide the Red Sea. But when you come to Exodus 15 verse 8, the Bible says, with a blast of his nostrils. Now, you blast your nostrils, what will happen? A scatter that will come out. But when God blasts his nostrils, a sea will divide. See, that's why most of us, we are mistaking God to be us. So when God is talking, we are interacting with him from our realm. That's why God can tell you the cancer is gone. You are looking at the size. Because you are operating with him from your realm. Don't reduce God to your realm, brothers. Don't reduce God to your realm, sisters. When God says you are blessed, you are checking for your whole family. Those who look like they are blessed, they bought a car. Who is talking car? A blessing is not a car. A blessing is the power to cause anything you touch to prosper. A car is a byproduct. A car is not a blessing, it's a byproduct. When God says you are blessed, even what people were doing and failing, when you start it to work. Because blessing is power to prosper. That's what he's telling you. That's what the patriarchs knew. A man can look at his son and say, I bless you with the dew of heaven. What do you mean by that? Do you control weather? A man looks at his son and tells his son, I bless you with corn and wine. Are you an agriculturist? Where is your farm? He knows how God works. That when he talks, everything aligns. When he talks, everything obeys. Because when you blast your nose, nothing happens. But when God blasts, a Red Sea can part. If you know this thing about God, when God begins to talk, you see the big picture. Most times, the reason we receive nothing is because when God is talking, we are seeing the small picture. The last fasting we just completed, 30 days. Some days, I'm so busy and I'm about to come on set. I rush into the studio by 5 and I'm telling myself, I'm tired. And many people are expecting a miracle. What do I do? And I go to God, Father, today, please let some people be healed. The other time, God told me, when I said fast for 30 days, all the healings that would take place were already released. It's not this prayer. When I said it, all the breakthroughs were involved. When I said it, all the healings were involved. When I said it, all the miracles. I said, what? That means when I'm praying, I'm not praying to make it happen. I'm praying to become aware. I'm praying to become sure. I'm praying to be able to believe. I said, Lord, it is settled. I now go onto the set like a cherub. So when I'm talking, I said, today, this will happen. This will happen. It's because of what I now know. I now know something. And we saw growth dematerialize. We saw monies. The other day I told them, one woman gave a testimony, I don't know if it was read. I was talking to them on the, I think, 17th or 18th day. I said, before this month is over, you will conceive. You have been struggling with secondary infertility. And the woman testified on the 29th that she conceived. She went to do a pregnancy test and discovered she was pregnant. Why will you have that kind of audacity? Because God told me all the healings have already been released. All the miracles have already been released. When I said fast for 30 days, I'm not saying leave food. I'm actually saying step into another dimension. And so I knew that there was a shift. If God talks, see the bigger picture. That's what will take you from where you are to where you should be. Many don't understand the protocol of understanding for the supernatural life. Did you not read about Elijah? Elijah said, I see what looks like the feast of a man. Elijah interpreted this as abundance of rain. What makes what looks like the feast of a man an abundance of rain? Because the man knows how God works. Any sign you see is bigger than your realm. It's bigger than your realm. And so when you begin to see the testimonies, you now understand God better. Number one, you need to know how God operates. Most of us don't know how God operates. That's why we think God is a doctor. And when God tells you your heart is in order, you are hoping that God will follow the same protocol that a doctor follows. He's not a doctor. He's greater than a doctor. When God tells you are blessed, you will prosper. You want him to be reduced to the textbook that you studied in Harvard. God is not an economist. He's greater than an economist. When he speaks, heaven and earth can pass away. His realm and your realm is both controlled by him. Sit down. Elohim Adonai.
Elohim Adonai.
Why am I saying this? I'm trying to help you believe. Your circumstance is too tiny. You magnified your circumstance and you reduced God because you don't know who He is. If you know the way He functions, imagine a boy that left Egypt came to God and God told him, go, tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may worship me. The question you ask is, Lord, are you not aware that I ran from Egypt? Okay, if you want me to go back, Egypt has the largest army in the world. Where is the soldiers you are sending with me? How do I confront Pharaoh? Where is the army? Go, tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. That's all God said. And that word was enough to deliver more than 4 million people from captivity of 430 years. And then the same God says your cancer is healed. Your blindness is over. Deafness is over. And you are saying, but Lord, the doctor said, which doctor? It's not consistent with economic theory. Which economic theory? The one you discovered, I created the realms. I created the universe. I created the economy. Which law are you talking about? When I talk, I transcend the law. But you don't know how God works. The question is, even if I take Israel out of Egypt, how do you sustain over 4 million people? What's the economic system? How will they eat? How do I cook for them? And you are taking us to a promised land. We are going to walk through deserts. How about the wild animals? How about the other nations that will be threatening at our sojourn? What are you doing about them? He said, when he led them, he suffered no man to do them harm. He gave a law in the spirit. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. He suffered no man. So he constrained the nations on their own. When they heard that Israel was coming, they were paralyzed. When they didn't have food, they told Moses, we want to eat. Moses was afraid for them. How can you be asking for this kind of thing? Who will cook for you? And when Moses went to God, please forgive them for asking for food. God said, shut up. Even you don't know me. Because Moses was afraid. He said, you are tempting God. How can you be asking God for food in the wilderness? If we don't ask for food, would we die here? And God said, relax. Tell them by this time in the evening, they will have more than enough. And to let them know that I am more than capable, they shouldn't store today's food for tomorrow. Every day there is enough. Hey. The Israelites were careful. They said, no, we are over 4 million. Anyone we have, let's store in case it doesn't come tomorrow. The Bible said, number one, manna began to fall in the field. Everybody ate as much as they could. And they hid some. When they came the next day, it was rotten. I have enough capacity to provide for you every day. That's God. They now came and said, we are tired of manna. We want meat. Moses said, go, God, don't kill these people. Please, they have tempted you. Father, please. God said, relax. Relax. Tell them they will eat meat until meat will grow on their head. Hey! Elohim Adonai. You know what God did? The Bible said God commanded the east wind, and some birds were going on their own journey. Suddenly the birds were flying. They were going south. But the more they flew, the more they discovered they were going east. And the wind carried them, brought them to the Israelite camp. Birds landed. They filled the field. Others landed on their head. Others landed. They came, no bird ran. They collected, killed, and eat. And for 40 years, every day, birds were coming. How many birds are created? And that God talks. You are analyzing. You are calculating. Your brain is too small, sir. Your brain is too small. The Bible said in Romans 15:4, it said the things that were written aforetime, it said they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. When God tells you I will feed your family, He has fed 4 million people in the wilderness before. How many are you in your family? You think food is what will discredit Him?
food is too small a factor. And as if that is not enough, none of them was weak. None of them was feeble. They showed them that he was able. If you know God, the moment God speaks to you, you start celebrating. Because you know that the answer is must. You know that the answer is sure. He is too big. Every time God comes to talk to you, he condescends. He reduces himself. Your needs are too infinitesimal. He is living in an infinite realm. For God to talk to humanity, he condescends into a finite realm. The whole problem of man to put together is too small for God. Every time God speaks to you, just know that he condescended. It's just like your son. Maybe you have a child who is 2 years old. You tell him, whatever you want, I'll give you. He doesn't even have the brain to ask for real issues. So all the problem of humanity put together that we are thinking is big, in the realm of God is toy. It's just like you asking God, Daddy, give me toy. That's our whole problem put together. And we think it's big. If your son say, buy me a toy, he thinks it's big. You say, don't worry, you have your toy. That's not prayer. If you come and hug me, I want you to hug me. I prefer intimacy with you. If it's toy, leave toy. But in your brain, you think it's so big. That's why Jesus said we should have the faith of a child. When you come to your father, say anything. Say anything. You know what he said in Jeremiah 33 verse 3? He said, call upon me, I will answer. And he didn't stop there. If he stopped there, that was good enough. You know why? That's a blank check. That means anything you want, ask, I will give you. But he didn't stop there. He now went further. He said, I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. That means all that you are asking is nothing. The real great things, the real mighty things, you don't know it. He said, me now, without you asking, I will show you. That means I will show you what is bigger than what you asked. When you know God, every day you wake up, he said, this is my day of dominion. It's another day to spend from God's account. It's another day to live the abundant life. I decree over you, all your challenges will be swallowed tonight. Oh, he mean ye, abata kibiti ye, ene du dabu eno, ojo adu dabu eno. Oh, he mean ye, abata kibiti ye, ene du dabu eno, ojo adu dabu eno. Oh, he mean he. Why do you think God gives people visions when they don't qualify and don't look like it? You are in secondary school, God now comes and tells you, I'll make you an apostle to the nations. You don't even know the meaning of apostle. You go to search, what does it mean? You are in secondary school, God comes to tell you, I'll make you governor, I'll make you president. You don't even know what it means to be a leader. But it's telling you, I will be the one to qualify you to be qualified. That's how God works. See, tell yourself, I will believe God. I believe God. Nothing is too big for him. A point came, God was so frustrated, he came and asked his people. He said, I am the Lord God. Is there anything too big for me? He said, I am not a man that shall lie. Neither am I the son of man that shall repent. He said, will I say a thing and not do it? Do you know me? Even for all eternity, you cannot exhaust me. I am God. I am God. I am God. Know me. Know me and have rest. Somebody wants to repent now. And say, God, I underrated you. Please forgive me. Now I will dare to ask. Now I will dare to take. Because I know that all my problems put together is not a factor in your realm. Somebody give the Lord a shout! I don't have time. Please sit down. You know, before now, when I'm coming for miracle service, I am praying. First of all, I want to overcome anxiety. Then second,
I tried to overcome my faithlessness. And then thought, I start begging God. Even if nothing will happen, at least let some people be healed. At least let headache. And if headache will not be healed, at least let some people fall under the anointing. Please do something. God looked at me and said, this boy doesn't know me. So you think the problem of the people who come for your service that is handful is a factor in my realm. You think my government will stop to solve that problem? God now took me on a journey to know him. When you know him, every challenge becomes a platform for manifestation. So when you come and there are crises, that's when you showcase God. If there are no problems, you are offended. You are offended because the problem is what gives you the opportunity to manifest the excellency of God. That was when I knew that our platform is not a stage. It's the crisis of men. When people think it's over, then you will hear that even the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear him shall live. When people think it's over, that's when God is starting. It is in the crisis of men that it demonstrates his excellency. Rest came to me. Rest came. God is big. You must know that. And his realm is superior to your realm. That's the first protocol of understanding you must have to walk in the supernatural. Number two, I'll just list them because we're out of time. You must understand God's intentions towards men. If you don't understand his intentions, you will not have the best of him. God's intentions are not to intervene in our circumstances. That's far from it. God intervenes in our circumstances because we are still growing. God's intention is actually for us to walk in dominion, to represent him. The man who is receiving healing, he is knowing God at a level, but that's not God's plan. God's plan is for him to become God's instrument of healing. The man who is receiving prosperity knows God at a low realm. God's plan is for you to become the symbol of his financial and economic power. The symbol of his prosperity. God wants you to represent him. So that when people want to see the excellency of health, they will look at you. That at 100 years, you are still walking. And you don't need an eyeglass. And then they say, which exercise? Which food do you eat? You say, yes, I exercise. I eat well. But this is not exercise. This is power. When people look at you, anything you want, you have. And then they are asking you, what are you doing to prosper so much? You say, no, it's a power. God is at work in me. He's using you as a sign. So you are the one who proves God's faithfulness. You are the one who proves God's power. You are the one who proves God's mercy. So when people want to know God, they look at you. God's plan is not to intervene in your life. It's to make you the tool of intervention. Let me show you two scriptures as I run. Number one, Psalm 115 verse 16. It said the heavens belong to God. It said, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. God didn't plan to be intervening in the earth from time to time. The reason God is intervening is because men have not grown. When men grow and become princes, God will intervene. Everything God wants to do, we represent him. That's the sign that we have fulfilled God's intention. That's why when he created man in Genesis 1:28, he said, let them have dominion. I want them to rule the earth on my behalf. When somebody is sick, you don't need to say, God, come. When you come, God has come. That's why when Jesus sent us, he didn't say, go and say, God, come and help. He said, you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. When you lay your hands, God lays his hands. You are God's system. You are God's strategy. You are God's tool of intervention. And so what God planned for us is not to be intervened. If God is intervening every day, the earth will lose the ability to exist according to plan. And the will of man will become useless. The reason God gave us a will is so that we can rule this earth on his behalf. But if God has to intervene with his sovereignty all the time, a point will come, even our existence will be useless. So God intervenes because his love compels him. But the original plan is for you and I to be the intervention. So when somebody is dying, they invite you, you come. You say, death, I rebuke you. Go back. And death has enough intelligence to know that you are God's representative. When somebody is sick, they invite you, you come. You say, in the name of Jesus, I break this siege. It goes back. When somebody is frustrated, they invite you, you come. You say, I break the embargo. Be free. And 1 week, 2 weeks later, the person begins to prosper. When they ask you, who are you? You say, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am here to represent Jesus. It's not about who I am. It's the one I represent. That's how God planned it. Imagine if a president sends you to represent him. And you come for that meeting. Everything you are supposed to do, you now call the president. Please talk to them. Why did you go there? If I have to talk to them, why did I send you? I sent you there so that when you talk, the president talks. When you rise, the president rises. You are my representative there. So God's original plan is not to be coming into earth all the time. It's our inability to express his will that makes him intervene, because his love won't let him. A generation must rise to maturity where we know that if we are there, God is there. And anything God would have done if he was there in person, because he has sent us there, that thing will happen. The moment you have that understanding, your life will change. Anywhere you go to, you say, God is here. And they ask you, where is he? You say, I came with him. At first, they will think you are proud, but when they see the manifestations, they will advise themselves. You know what the Bible said? It said, if they hear you, they hear me. That's what the Bible said. I think that's Luke 10:16. It said, if they hear you, they hear me. Anything you say, that's my mind. It said, we have the mind of Christ, so we judge all things. We represent God in his fullness on the earth. That's why we are called the body of Christ. He became one with us so that we can represent him. So, if God is healing you now, thank him for it, but knows that his plan is beyond healing. He wants you to become a system of divine health. So much so that wherever you stand, you communicate healing. If God is intervening in your finances, thank him for it. But know that he wants you to be a system of prosperity. Did you read the life of Abraham? One man at that era had over 318 servants. Not to talk about bona fide members of his family. 318. The guy's house was literally a city. And there was no place where Abraham was begging, Lord, please feed me. No, he knew who he was. If Abraham enters your nation, you are blessed. Even in few occasions where Abraham was afraid, God was fighting on his behalf. He was entering Egypt and he told the wife, if you go there, don't tell the king you are my wife. Or tell him you are my sister. I don't want them to kill me. Because he too was learning to understand what he represents. He doesn't know that when he enters Egypt, God has entered. He was still learning. And when he went, he lied to the king that this is my sister. Well, not lie per se, because she's his niece. And the king hijacked the lady. That night, God came to him and said, how dare you? You took his wife. Don't you know who he is? The king, who is he? He said, all your family now, everybody is barren already because of this thing you have done. There is judgment on your house. Because you touch his wife, even the animals are already barren now. He needs to pray for you. The next day, king came to Abraham. Abraham was shaking. Oh, what happened again? But meanwhile, Abraham will be praying. Please, let him not touch my wife. He didn't know who he was. When the king came, he was shaking. The king now said, I'm so sorry. You would have told me that she's your wife. Why did you hide this thing from me? Please pray for me. That was when Abraham now put himself together. What's going on here? I represent the Most High God. Somebody shout! Abraham, no? And do you know the same thing happened to Isaac? Both of them met Abimelech. I don't know why the pattern was repeated. And Isaac too didn't know. After it happened, you know? Yes, you know, that's how God works. I'm a prophet of God. Your voice now has baritone. But if you know, you don't need anything to happen. When you enter the nation, you come like one sent of God. If you know, you don't need an encounter. You don't need anybody to validate you. The scripture has already validated you. Because people don't know God's plan. That's why in our generation, everybody is looking for somebody to speak good of them. Today, people pay money for somebody to talk about them. Today, people lobby to be in people's birthday just to stand so that they know them. Oh God, stop that thing. You are too important. You are God's strategy for a generation. When you go for a birthday, go because you want to celebrate a friend. Nobody has the power to add value to your life. He said you were carefully and wonderfully made. Honor men for their sacrifices. Honor men for what they represent. But never bring yourself low to think that it's another man's life that will give your own life a meaning. The Bible said a man in honor that knoweth not. It's like the beast of the field that perishes. The reason most of us are perishing is because we don't know who we are. Wake up and understand you represent God. You are an ambassador of another dispensation. You are a representative of a spirit that is a monarch eternally. You are God's agency on the earth realm. Walk with understanding. You are God's agent. You are God's strategy. You are God's plan. Don't be arrogant, but know who you are. Don't be intimidated by anybody. Listen, there are places today where they make men less of themselves. In fact, they treat them like slaves. Come out of that bondage. The Bible said, as he is, so are you in this world. And you are not just as he is for being like him, so that he can send you to represent him. When Paul understood this, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, be ye followers of me, as I am the follower of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. If you have seen me, you have seen Christ. If you have met me, you have met Christ. That was the consciousness he had. No wonder God did extraordinary things with him. The Bible says handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Paul. They were casting out devils. They were healing the sick. It's not a mantle. It's a revelation. It's not a mantle. It has nothing to do with the mantle of Paul. It has everything to do with Paul's understanding of who he is. This is not to teach you arrogance. Please hear me and hear me well. Honor those who deserve honor. But don't dishonor yourself in a bid to honor others. Ask my leaders here. I call them stars. We play. Administratively, I'm leading this clan. But they are equally important. They are all representatives of God. They are agents of God on the earth realm. Too many people can't manifest God because in their minds they have become slaves. Today, tell somebody to do something little, he wants to die. Is it me like this? Oh, how? No, stop those things. It's religion. I appreciate God for the opportunity, but please, you are not a slave. Jesus died for you, and he commissioned you to represent him, because that was God's original plan. He wanted you to represent him in your own sphere of influence. Have that understanding. Please sit down. Number three, if you understand God's intention towards you, then you need to understand who you are in Christ. You need to understand who you are. And I've taught this here again and again and again. The Bible said, as he is, so are you in this world. The Bible said, 1 Corinthians 6:17, it said, whoever is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him. Everybody joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. God is not separate from you. If we enter your spirit now, excavate through your soul and enter your spirit, we can't separate you from the Holy Ghost. You are one and identical. Whoever is joined to the Lord, you have been joined to the Lord. You are married to Christ. And on the strength of Christ, of that, the Bible said we are joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17. What Christ has inherited, he has shared with us. In fact, Christ himself calls us his brothers. So he's our Savior and our Lord. But he is also our brothers. Our brother. The Bible calls him the first amongst many brethren. You need to understand that right here and right now, apart from the fact that you represent God, you are exactly like him. Everything of God has been placed on you. I taught them in the foundation school five things God gave us. Number one, he gave us his glory. Number two, he gave us his righteous character. Number three, he gave us his life. Number four, he gave us his presence. And number five, he gave us his authority. So if people are looking for God, apart from the scripture, the next clearest definition of God is you. Because you were created in his image and his likeness. If you know this, you will not allow anything that cannot walk in God walk in you. The reason you have zero level tolerance for demonic oppression is because you know that no demon can oppress Jesus. And so if it cannot walk in Jesus, it can't walk in me. The reason you have zero level tolerance for sickness is because you know that it can't work in Jesus. And if it cannot work in Jesus, it can't work in you. Because everything that was in Christ that made demons, made sickness impregnable in him, has also been put on you. So when you know this, the only thing you will accept in your life is only what you saw in Christ Jesus. Anything that is not in Christ, if it comes to you, you refute it. And when you do, because God cannot deny himself, God will make sure it happens. Because he's the one who made you like Christ. And if he made you like Christ, you cannot have an experience that differs from Christ's experience. This is why we exercise dominion. If I stand up now and I say, I cannot tolerate sickness, there is a foundation to it. Because right now, I am like Christ. And if sickness does not work in Christ, sickness will only work in me if I allow it. And I will never cooperate with sickness. If I stand up today and I say, no demon shall come near my dwelling, I am not being psyched. There is a foundation to it. Because when Jesus walked the earth, no demon could tame him. And if they couldn't tame him, I will not allow them. Because as he is, so am I. And so this revelation will change your existence forever. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 6:20, the Bible said, you were bought with a price. It said your spirit and your body belongs to God. If my body belongs to God, what is sickness doing inside? When Jesus possessed it, was there sickness in him? Why would there be in me? This thing will create a holy vexation in you. If anything is trying to dominate you, the first place to check is Christ. When Christ walked the earth, did this thing dominate him? If he didn't, why would I let it? That's why you will rise up in aggression and say no to the devil. And the moment the devil knows that you know, he will not waste his resources with you. Because he's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He doesn't have enough resources to waste. So he uses his resources on those who don't know. The moment he knows you know, he will not waste his resources on you. Your deliverance will become natural. Please, what I teach you today, learn it and learn it well. It will make you a champion in your generation. Anything that was not obtainable in Christ, don't give it a room. That's why Paul teaching in Ephesians 4:27, he said, giving no place to the devil. Because any mileage the devil covers in your life, you allowed him. You cooperated with him. But a generation of understanding have risen. And you will stand up and say, no way, this thing cannot happen. Not here. And if you stand your ground, you will see that everything will obey what you have said. Because there is a basis for what you are saying. As it is, so are you. If you don't know this, you can never walk in the supernatural. Why do you think we pray for the sick with audacity? Because when Christ prayed, they were healed. And if we have the faith of Christ, if we have the life of Christ, if we have the anointing of Christ, if we have the spirit of Christ, if we pray, they will also be healed. Why do you think we face life with boldness? Because we saw Christ face life the same way. And so everything that obeys Christ must obey us. Because as he is, so are we. This is the understanding you have that births the miraculous in you. When my brother was testifying here, I just looked at him and was smiling. Few months ago, he could not even stand to preach about Jesus. They go to a secondary school to preach. He was not bold enough. But today, he's looking for the sick. He comes anywhere and says, who is sick here? Come. Something has changed. He has discovered who he is in Christ. And so he's no longer living by the picture his ancestors painted. He's no longer living by the picture his circumstances painted. He's now living by the truth of scripture. And as he's living by it, every day he keeps seeing miracles, signs, wonders, because that is our inheritance. As he is, so are you. Anywhere you get to, listen, sustain this consciousness. If Christ were here, what would he do? Begin to do the same. You will be shocked that not too long, your life will have no difference from the life that Jesus lived. Why do you think Jesus had to live on the earth for 33 years? He wanted to show you how you are supposed to live. Because your life is not supposed to be anything short of the life that Jesus lived. That's what we were called to do. When we come to church, listen, Christianity is not just about this gathering. This gathering is to equip us. The real Christianity is out there. When you go out, how much of Christ do you embody? How much of Christ do you manifest? That's the proof that you are a Christian. The day you know this, demons will run from you. I have had sicknesses in my body. Nobody prayed for me. I fought against them. and kick them out of my body. I've had strange growth on my body that I fought out of my body. So I'm not telling you what I don't know. I've had skin infections that I fought out of my body. I've had many conditions that looked as if would kill me and destroy me. But I knew that if this thing is in Christ, it won't kill him. And if it won't kill him, there's no way it can kill me. Because I am like him. And everything he had, God gave me. So I will not die. I will live to proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's how I came here. Because I refused to bow. I refused to cower. I refused to bend for everything the devil threw at me. And the reason I was able to stand was because I knew I was like him. I represent him. I carry his DNA. I carry his grace. I carry his unction. And so it will be a wonder if I go down for those things. It will be a wonder. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Are you being charged already? Some of us have tolerated too much. So your life has become a dumping site. Any experiment they try from the demonic coven, they bring it and test run on you. As if you are a lab rat. Let's check. Can this thing affect somebody's liver? Can this thing affect somebody's heart? And then they come, they put it on you. Hey, 2 weeks later, you are dying. Help me. Then I say, okay, let's watch. How long does it take to kill a man? Wow. Makora kibakatakuze. Evevevarata uruataka. You don't experiment on me, sir. Higher. I refuse to be a lab rat to a demon. When you throw it, I check it. This is not how I woke up yesterday. Kakasuze, ererekataka, baranda swate, asotakaba, heya, tetekaraya. Hey! Do you know the question I was asking God the other time? I became too angry with demons and I was asking the Holy Ghost, this thing we are casting out demons, why not give us another clearance level so that when we cast them out, we bind them and tie them somewhere for some years? Because when we cast them out, they roam about and enter other people. Let's give us some more clearance level. When we cast out a demon, we say, wait there. Go nowhere. Wait. Now, because you came here, you are not permitted to walk again for the next 100 years. So when we bind that demon, he will be there for 100 years without. I was intoxicated by my understanding that I am like Christ. The moment I knew it, when I come anywhere and they say somebody is demonized, I'm just moving around and I'm thinking, which approach should I use? Do I lay hands or do I remove my jacket? Or do I wave? Because this is the time to demonstrate. He said, when I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the counsel of God. I came with the demonstration of the spirit and power. Christianity is a demonstration of spirit and power. Somebody has cancer, look at the person. Makeria atatakara stovakiata marondo. Point the person and say, cancer, I kill you. I kill you. Makata kapara tagata. Eriano marate. You are a wonder to your generation. Not because you are a Christian. No. Make no mistakes about it. Not because you are a part of a religious organization. No. You are a wonder because you know that as he is, so are you. You have the faith of the Son of God. You have the anointing of Jesus. You have the life of Jesus. You have the presence of Jesus. And you have the word of God in your spirit. You are a wonder. When you come somewhere, don't look for anybody to motivate you. Self-motivate because of the word that is in you. And if anything is trying to choke you and you notice that you are becoming afraid, excuse yourself, go and lock the door quick. It means your battery is low. Carry some scriptures. Meditate upon them. Talk them to yourself. After a while, choose some tongues. Kakakaka. Mruana inelua. Efeudia ekekagune zanzuzwa akata. That time, that one is not fellowship tongue. That one is charging tongues. You pray it from a depth. It's a day that go to the deep. They are the ones that see the wonders of God. Nika irike erundria kakasuda parakte indua paraga. You are trying to excavate ancient scrolls. You are trying to look at a mirror that will not show you anything but the Christ. So when you come out, You start acting Jesus. You act him. You act him. That's why it's called the Acts of the Apostles. Because they were acting Jesus. When Jesus saw the sick, he laid hands. When Jesus saw the demonized, he cast out. So your life becomes an acting of Jesus Christ. I decree over you, everything undermining your existence, it goes down tonight. Protocol of understanding for miraculous living. Number one, know who God is. Number two, know God's intentions. Number three, know who you are in Christ. And then number four, understand the system for resuscitation. That's where prayer comes in. That's where meditation on the word comes in. That's where worship comes in. That's where fasting comes in. Listen, brothers and sisters, when we pray, it's not a religious activity. No, it's a system. It's a system that brings you to the fullness of the Christ. When we walk by faith, it's a system. When we become conscious of eternal life, it's a system. God didn't give us his life for no cause, for no reason. He gave us his life to remind us that we are in his class. I've told you many times, the reason you are here tonight is not because you wore a suit. Put a suit on a dog, he won't enter here. Put a suit on a donkey, it won't enter here. It's not a suit that brought you here. It's the life of men that brought you here. Because you have the human life, you can think like a man and you can participate in the convergence of men. The same way, when God put his life on you, it means you no longer participate only in the assemblies of men. You have also become a bona fide participator in the convergence of immortals. When spirits gather, you can come there. When spirits talk, you can come there. So the whole essence of eternal life is to give you participatory access into the realms of God. I am not ordinary. No, I'm not. You will need to burn me 10 times to redefine my understanding. I am not ordinary. I have the life of God. I fellowship with God. I walk with God. I stand with God. I represent God. I am not just a man. That's why Paul did not call us men. He said, whoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. We are not ordinary. No, he said, whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. My God. Listen, can I tell you something? When the people of the world look at us, they think we are all men. They are joking. We are not all men. Some of us are called new creation. We are a hybrid creature. There is fullness of God here. There is fullness of man here. Why do you think? Listen, can I tell you something? It's only in church people are healed. Make no mistake about it. 90% of the sicknesses in the world have no cure. Medical science can only manage sickness. People who are deaf have no cure. They give them hearing aids to manage it. There's no cure for cancer. Cut it off, it comes back again. There's no cure for schizophrenia. Because spirits are manipulating the souls of men. Medical science is limited. There's no cure for diabetes. When you have it, they manage your sugar. There's no cure for hypertension. The only place people come to, and we can uproot those things, is in the house of God. Because this is where the liver was created. This is where the lungs were created. This is where the kidney was created. This is where all of the totality of man was created. And so if it is faulty, it can be replaced. And we are the messengers that were sent to bring those spare parts from heaven. We are not ordinary. Marakabakatoa.
Mighty on your throne, you reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you
reign.
You reign, you reign, you
reign.
Kadosh, Kadosh.
You are mighty on your throne.
Listen. You need to understand this. Both of you are deputy managers. Both of you have master's degree. But listen, in addition to what you studied in the university, there's a realm where light dwells. The unbeliever cannot go there. And so when your certificate cannot suffice, tell them like Daniel, give us time. There's a God that reveals secrets. What my master's degree certificate cannot handle, I can journey to where light dwells. And I can touch ancient wisdom. I can read ancient chronicles. And then they give you a night. You are no longer reading. You are tonguing in the spirit. Barakabaka stavaraka. Barakabina mangradaka. Veverado staradia. Rakapandre keba. Do you know why? Do you know why? Nobody created any law. God created all. All the laws of economics were discovered. No one was created. All the laws of physics were discovered. No one was created. All the laws of chemistry were discovered. No one was created. You know what that means? God is the chief economist. God is the chief physicist. God is the chief chemist. And so when you can't find it in the textbook, find it in Zion. When you go there, Kakira, Abaraka to Dakaya, Veverande Susa, that's when you will know that there are different angels in the realm. There are those who embody wisdom. And when they appear to you, you will know as you are known. Can somebody pray in the Holy Ghost? Can you pray for 1 minute? You want to pray in the Holy Ghost? Ekerina Harakata. He said, I am and the children that the Lord has given to me. We are for signs and we are for wonders. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick shall recover. We are a wonder to our world. Cry out. Kadosh. You reign, you reign, you reign. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh.
You are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ascend Zion King. Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ascend Zion King. Kadosh, Kadosh.
Kadosh.
You are mighty on your throne.
Hear me. They told you that your political career will fail. Tell them it's a lie. They told you that your business will fail. Tell them it's a lie. They told you that your ministry will fail. Tell them it's a lie. I am bigger than what you see. God dwells on my inside. God dwells here. God dwells here. God dwells here. I am more than a conqueror. I'm not ordinary. I carry the DNA of God. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost now? Address everything limiting your existence. You Of time. I want to hear the tongue of angry people. You are tired with where you are because you were deceived. They taught you that you were weak. They taught you that you were conquerable. They taught you that you were a victim before you started. I came to show you the gospel. That's why I told you Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Lord. As Savior, He delivers us, but as Lord, He empowers us to represent Him. You are not a victim. No, no way. Every affliction we go down now.
I'm no longer a slave to thee. I am a child of God.
I'm no longer
a slave to thee.
I'm no longer
a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
I am. Lift your hands toward heaven. I'm seeing wasted years being restored. The years that you lost because of ignorance and because of the tyranny of devils. The anointing will come on people now. Ushers, you will help me. Wasted years. The power of God is coming upon some of you. I've seen restoration of years. Now, by the anointing, every year that the palmer worm, the caterpillar worm has eaten, in the name of Jesus, I decree, be restored.
I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
And no longer.
Please lift your hands toward heaven. I'm seeing God hand over scepters to people. He's bringing most of you into authority. 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 And it's by the anointing. Ushers, you will help me now. There are seven of them that God is bringing power for governance. Scepters in the spirit, on ground, online. Wherever they are standing now, I release that grace. Bring them here first. There are seven of them. Governmental power.
Sound of the heavens, the sound of creation, Shekinah is here.
I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation, Yahweh is here.
We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua, Shekinah is here,
Yahweh.
I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation, Yahweh is here.
We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua, Shekinah is here,
Yahweh.
Yahweh. may descend here now. I'm seeing people that have movements in their body. Bodies, movements. Demonic movements on ground, online. The hand of God will come upon you in the similitude of fire. And everything planted in you that is not of God. And by extension, everyone with a tumor or a growth in the body. Right now, as that fire descends, it will dematerialize everything. Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. If we can, let's be still. We are out of time. We are out of time. Just lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus. As this fire comes upon most of you, it will propel you into your ordination. This week alone, some of you will see wonders that you have not seen in your whole lifetime. Father, wherever they are standing, let that fire fall on them now, as it was on the day of Pentecost. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, take that fire. 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 Everything planted that is not of God, be uprooted now. And every ordination awaiting manifestation, in the name of Jesus, such as I have, receive it now. Usher, accept them. Usher, accept them. Usher, accept them. I want to address afflictions now, mental issues, ear condition. Both of you there, stretch your hand towards me. In the name of Jesus, let the flame of the revivalist fire come upon you now. Take that fire. Please help them. Mental conditions, eye conditions, ear conditions, and organ infirmities. In the name of Jesus, I decree now, let all of those yokes and afflictions break. Everyone who is beside himself, every mental issue, I address those demons. Your power is broken. I command devils of insanity, be bound and come out of them now. Every demon affecting ears, eyes, and organs, livers, kidneys, lungs, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I command you, come out of their bodies. I decree now, the chain of sickness break. Stretch your hands towards me, my sister. The hand of God is upon you. Father, in the name of Jesus, a new measure. Take right now. A new measure. A new measure. By the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Every bone condition, issues with the muscles, ligaments, affecting your bodily mobility. Now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority. Be healed and perfected. Every condition that has to do with your blood pressure, every condition that has to do with your breathing, asthmatic conditions. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority now and I command those sicknesses be bound. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Then I ask the Lord, what name fits you?
the hallowed one. Yah, the holy one. Yahweh, the King of Zion.
In the name of Jesus, I may not have called your case. If you have a situation that I have not addressed, put your hand on your chest. And right now, command that thing to leave you. Command it to leave you now. Now, command it to get out of your body. Now.
Then ask the Lord, what name fits you? Generation after generation, keep praising you, but no one stops you up. Then I ask the Lord, what name did you? And he said,
if you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.